Our second scripture lesson for today are the seeds of goodness we've been considering, named by Paul to the Philippians. Let us hear them together again as we continue in this series of reflections. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have been, since the beginning of the year, considering what it really means and what it really takes to grow, to be healthy, to be fruitful spiritually. We spent some time looking at these spiritual weeds that Paul named to the Ephesians and how to uproot the bitterness and the wrath and the anger and the clamoring and the slander and the malice out from our spirits so that they don't choke out our health and our growth. If anybody needs a sort of a tangible reminder of those, you're invited to find a dandelion before you leave and uproot it and take it with you. But this morning we resume our commitment to think about, to make more time and room within ourselves for the kinds of seeds that bloom into healthy and fruitful spirits, as Paul just named and as we just heard. Today we think about whatever is just. When we hear the word just, I wonder what kind of definitions or associations bubble up within us. I assume many of them have to do with fairness or balance, or a sense that a particular action or outcome seems deserved or earned. Our children learn very early to measure the fairness or balance in what they receive from their parents or grandparents or teachers, etc. Blair and I have to be careful that we hand out the same number of hugs, the same number of pages at story time every night, the same number of goldfish in their snack bowls because they count them. Our children learn to pursue what is just on the bus or on the playground, reacting with a balanced or equal response of force or taunting, or on the positive side, friendship. We pursue what is just in our courts by using the law as our measure, our guide, seeking punishments that are fair, balanced, or deserved. We decry a lack of judgment, justice, when the punishment doesn't seem fair. Maybe we disagree in some interpretations of what those laws and punishments ought to be. We pursue what is just socially, seeking that all persons be treated fairly according to what they deserve, rather than being treated differently because their race or gender orientation or whatever. We pursue what is just in the financial sector, seeking wages, interest rates, social welfare programs that are fair and balanced and deserved. Maybe we disagree on our interpretations of what that means. We pursue what is just on the global scale, seeking to free those under the weight of tyranny and oppression, and we use tools like diplomacy, war, sanctions, etc. Maybe we disagree in our opinions about why and when and how we go about this pursuit of global justice. When Paul invites us to think about what is just, it's a Greek word, dikaios, which literally means in conformity to God's own being. The scripture's definition of what is just is not about what is right by some human measure, whether the Hebrew laws or our laws today. It's not about what is fair or deserved as a response. Honestly, the doctrine of karma, we get what we deserve, what goes around comes around, is probably closer to many of our contemporary understandings of justice than how the scriptures speak about what is just. What is just is that which is in conformity to God's own being, God's character, nature, will. As Christians, we don't proclaim that God's nature, character, and will are revealed in karma, but are revealed in and through the life, the teachings, the example of Jesus Christ, the incarnation of God in human form, God on display. So if we're going to think about what is truly just, it means we're thinking about the attitudes and words and responses that conform to the example of Jesus. From John's Gospel, we heard Terry share Jesus speaking about how he is the embodiment of God's truth and therefore what is just. What is in conformity to God? He said, if I testify about myself, it's not true. This is an acknowledgement of a Hebrew law from Deuteronomy 19 that said all testimony or witnessing had to be corroborated by more than one witness. Can't just have a single voice. So Jesus said, well, John, my cousin, the baptizer, he corroborated. The works, the healings, the miracles I've done, they testify on my behalf. They corroborate. Moses spoke of me and therefore corroborated. Jesus knew, according to Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses said once upon a time, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you shall heed such a prophet. So Jesus said, if you believe Moses, then you would believe me, because Moses wrote about me right there. He said to them, the rest of the scriptures corroborate, but you're missing the point. You're looking at them in a certain way where you're missing that they're pointing to me. You've been searching for life in them and their legalism, but that's not leading you to life and what is just. I am the embodiment of human life that is in conformity to God's being, but you refuse to come to me to find life, is what he said. Jesus always did and said what was just in conformity to God. He told parables about the forgiveness of financial debt as just practice. He taught others to forgive those who offend them 70 times, 7 times. He said to the young ruler, sell all your possessions that you don't need and give the proceeds to the poor. And when Peter pulled out his sword to defend him, Jesus told him to put it away. According to Jesus' witness of what is in conformity to God's very being, we learn that what is just is not always fair or balanced or deserved. What if the attitude or word or action in response to someone else that is in conformity to God's being isn't actually what seems fair to us? God and the love that God has for us is often unfair and undeserved. It's not based on merit or expectation. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 103, God doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back for our wrongs. What if God did actually treat us fairly or according to what we deserve? I speak only for myself, and I assume my red ears do too. But I assume that I would not be the only voice in this room who would confess to being the recipient of God's love and guidance very much undeservedly. God's Spirit is not executing karma, but is busy forgiving debts rather than calling them in. God's Spirit invites us to leave our mistakes behind rather than carry them along in life where they continue to weigh us down and separate and segregate us. Martin Luther King said, law and order exist for the purpose of establishing justice, and when they fail in this purpose, they become dangerously structured dams. What if we've been so caught up in looking for life in the laws, either the laws of the scriptures or our contemporary law, that they've blocked us from the fullness of life we would find by seeking to be conformed to Jesus' attitude and actions? What if our pursuit of fairness and balance and what is deserved is actually keeping us from fully embracing the goodness of life that God has for us all? Jesus said, you come to me to find life. Paul said, really think about this, what it means to be conformed to God's will and being. This invitation to discover God's will and being revealed by Jesus and confirmed by the Spirit in our conscience. So if our actions and attitudes are driven by a sense of what is just, then let us commit to thinking about what is just. What kinds of attitudes and actions are in conformity to God's unconditionally loving being and will? Rather than seeking what is fair, balanced, and deserved, what do we think is actually just? What is God's will? Thinking about what is truly just, truly in conformity to God's will, led an Albanian woman named Teresa, many called her mother, to care for thousands of the most marginalized and forgotten people in Calcutta. And she started an order of almost 5,000 women who now serve with that same love in more than 130 countries. Thinking about what is just led a little girl named Alex Scott to start a lemonade-fueled movement of compassionate help that's raised more than $100 million, researching a cure to the disease that claimed her life, as her life continues to lovingly benefit those most in need. These are just two examples. What might thinking about, claiming, committing our lives to what is just, what might that lead to in our lives? We think about that, Paul says. Think about it. What is in conformity to God's good will and purposes? What's God's will in our relationships, especially the broken ones? What's God's will for the poor, the underpaid, those in need of help? What's God's will for the addicted, for those fleeing war-torn nations? What's God's will for Emmaus? What's God's will for us as this congregation? What's God's will for our families? What is just? Think about it. And then with God's help, let us pursue what is just accordingly. Amen.